I'm sitting here on this yoga mat asking myself, am I actually happy? That was the beginning of my spiritual journey, of my awakening, of what was next in my life.
Who were you as a person before now?
Everything that you wanted. You know, I was an attorney. I was married. I had two children. I had my own firm. My husband had his own business. I had everything. All the boxes
so
were checked of what, you know, we wanted to achieve in life. A girlfriend of mine had competed with me as well, and she was a yoga instructor. And so she said, hey, why don't you come to this yoga class? It's actually really hard.
Yeah.
And so I went into this position. I grabbed this little box to hang on to for dear life, just so I could get into this pose. I finally did it, and all of a sudden, like, this most excruciating pain came over me. I didn't know what was happening at that time. She was talking, and she's like, are you happy with your life? And this pain was, like, literally increasing at that time. I distinctly remember saying, I have forgotten who I was. I don't know who I am. That was the beginning of my spiritual journey, of my awakening, of what was next in my life.
How hard is that, though, to give up something you've worked so hard to get your law degree, to establish a career,
oh,
have a husband with children, and then give that all up? Did you have second thoughts? Did you think you were going through a midlife crisis? Did people say, what are you doing?
All the above. Everybody thought I was crazy.
Hey everybody, it's Rachel here. I get asked about my hair all the time, and today I'm spilling the tea on my secret weapon, the Dr. C Tuna Hair Care Reviving Line from Pharmacy. Seriously, if you've ever used a shampoo that leaves your hair feeling stripped, dry, even staticky, you know exactly what I mean. This shampoo cleans your hair so perfectly that it feels super clean, light, and bouncy without that over dry, flat, I lost all my moisture vibe. And then there's the conditioner. It makes your hair incredibly soft and silky, yet never greasy, which is really important to me. I sometimes get nervous about using conditioner because I feel like it's going to grease my hair too quickly. And you're not weighed down or ever worried that you're going to have that heavy feeling later. It's packed with nourishing ingredients that revitalize your strands, boost shine, and even help you manage your frizz. And the best part, you get these luxury hair products without paying a luxury price. Yes, you can indulge in that high-end feel and transformation without breaking the bank. Trust me, once you've tried the Dr. C Tuna Reviving Line, you'll notice your hair looking and feeling amazing. Get ready to rock that hair that's as healthy as it is gorgeous. You deserve it. Go to www.pharmacyus.com. That's spelled pharmacyus.com/Yucatel, my last name, and find the products there. The website is packed with all sorts of my favorites. Definitely make sure you check it out. And also, the link will be in our show notes. Today on Misunderstood with Rachel Yucatel, I'm joined by the incredible Shamina Taylor, a former attorney turned multi-million dollar wealth expert, business mentor, and best-selling author. After leaving behind the traditional version of success that no longer fulfilled her, Shamina completely transformed her life after hitting rock bottom and created a powerful second act on her own terms. In this episode, she shares how she made that leap, what it really took to step into her purpose, and how she helps other women do the same. We talk about the mindset shifts, energetic tools, and no BS strategies she uses to help women stop playing small and become truly empowered. If you're feeling stuck, unsure of your next move, or craving a bigger, bolder life, this episode can be a game changer. Shamina breaks it all down and shows you how to take your power back and step fully into who you're meant to be. Please enjoy my conversation with Shamina Taylor. Shamina, thank you so much for joining me on Misunderstood. I appreciate you coming to town.
Thank you for having me.
Of course. So can we start by talking about your experience in terms of what you did in your former career, how you got into that, your upbringing, like who were you as a person before now?
Well, prior to where I am at right now, I had a career where it was everything that you wanted. You know, I was an attorney. I had the perfect life if you looked it up online, you know, or wherever. I was married. I had two children. I had my own firm. My husband had his own business. We were in bodybuilding competitions. You know, we had everything. All the boxes were checked of what, you know, we wanted to achieve in life. And after I'd finished my last bodybuilding competition and my kids were really young at the age, a girlfriend of mine had competed with me as well, and she was a yoga instructor. And so she said, hey, why don't you come to this yoga class? Because they wanted to, the news wanted to do a segment on her because she'd lost so much weight. So they're like, hey, let's, you know, let's do a segment. And I've always wanted to be on TV at any, you know, at that time. I was like, anything goes. So I had only done yoga like 3 times, mm-hmm. but being somebody who was highly competitive, you know, being an attorney, like I was always set up for, you know, to do whatever. Mm-hmm. I get to the yoga class and I go up to the camera guy and I said, hey, like, don't pan on me too much because I don't know what I'm doing. But basically I was telling him, look at this really cute Lululemon outfit and make sure you see me that I'm in the room. And I get down to go do this yoga class and put my phone beside me. And as my girlfriend was starting, she had us like, you know, doing these dog downs. I swear we did like 100 of them. I was getting so annoyed with her. I'd only done yoga about 3 times, but I knew enough that she was showing off, like in my mind. And so I was highly irritated. You know, and I think yoga is supposed to relax you. Mm. Looked over at my phone and only 15 minutes had passed and we actually had an hour to do this class. So she said, okay, I want you to take one leg and put it one way and then take your other leg and put it the other way. And being competitive because I was going to win yoga that day, I decided I'm going to do exactly what she says because I'm coachable too. I'll do whatever it takes. But as I'm doing this, if you are into anybody who's listening that, you know, works out, we are not the most flexible people when you're a bodybuilder. Like it's just stretching is the last thing we do. You know, it's really not the fun part about, it's actually really hard.
Yeah.
And so I went into this position. I grabbed this little box to hang on to for dear life just so I could get into this pose. I finally did it, and all of a sudden, like, this most excruciating pain came over me, and I didn't know what was happening at that time. She was talking, and she's like, are you happy with your life? And this pain was, like, literally increasing at that time. She's like, are you doing what you know, you came here to do? The pain was getting worse, and I was basically wanted to tell her to shut up because I was, like, having this pain, and I was she was asking these questions, and now that I'm in this pose, all of a sudden, this, like, physical pain, like, it was so harsh, I started crying. And I was pushing through the pain. And then all of a sudden, like, my whole body went numb and it went to, like, emotional pain. And she's like, are you happy? And then, like, that moment, it was like, I don't remember who Shamina was anymore. I distinctly remember saying, I have forgotten who I was. I don't know who I am. And I'm sitting here on this yoga mat asking myself, am I actually happy? Physically, I wasn't, but I'd, like, left my body in that moment, and I just started wailing and crying, and I had, like, probably the ugliest cry I'd ever had in my life. It was, like, this thing came over my body where I just released all these emotions that had just been stuck inside of me, and she's talking some more, and I'm, like, I've got to change my life. Like, something has to change. I felt like in that moment, I couldn't unsee what I saw. Like, I was not happy. I had all the things you were supposed to have, what they tell you to have, mm-hmm. what success looks like, and there was something deeply missing inside of me in that moment.
So up until then, though, even though you had all these tangible things, did you feel unhappy? Did you notice that something was missing?
Well, I mean, as I learned more as I went along, I realized I was in survival mode. And so, I mean, this is something I'll share with you on the show, but a lot of women who are highly in their masculine, which I was, they're doers. They get things done and mm-hmm. they know how to suppress their emotions mm-hmm. in such a way to keep functioning. And so I was always trained, especially coming from the bodybuilding, is like, I could do anything. I could push my body to the brink of whatever it takes. So after that yoga moment, I lifted my head up. I had snot everywhere. I was like, I stayed in this pose for the rest of the class and people kept coming to rub my back, and I realized, I talked to my girlfriends there, and I'm like, something's got to give. And, you know, when I left, it was a frog pose, by the way, because you hold all your emotions in your hip, and it literally releases. It was releasing. It was like I could no longer hold the dam of suppressing and not letting my body feel what I was feeling, because I wasn't taught to feel my emotions. I was taught to do. So I went home, talked to my husband. A couple of days later, we decided to go to therapist, and then a month later, we decided for him to move out, and that was the beginning of my spiritual journey, of my awakening, of what was next in my life. I realized my marriage was at a place that it shouldn't have been. We were like the dream couple, the power couple, and yet I was in survival mode in my life and in my marriage. And I went to this psychic because I was like, maybe she can give me some, you know, insight. And she's like, your third eye is closed. And I was like, lady, what the hell is a third eye? And we need to get that bitch open right now. Like, I need to figure out, because being a high achiever, I wanted to figure out how I could be the best that I could be. And if I knew, if somebody knew something that I did and I wanted to learn it. Anyways, that took me on a journey of figuring out, why did my marriage get to that place? Like, why did I, how was I able to stay in a marriage where he was, you know, a great guy. We were a loving couple. How did it get to a place that we were in survival mode, that we were no longer connecting with each other? Mm. And, you know, he had moved out. He was doing his own journey. I started connecting to like a higher power. I can't even explain it, which told me I was here for something greater than what I was doing right now. And let me tell you, when you're a lawyer, because I was a lawyer for 20 years, when you're a lawyer and you're practicing and something else is calling to you and you don't know what it is tangibly, it's like you got to dig in and find that faith and figure out what's next. So I was literally getting signs from the universe. I was, you know, different spiritual teachers, dead and alive, were coming to me. And I realized that I had to dig in to find out, why did I stay in this marriage? Why did I not heal the trauma from my past? Because I had a lot of trauma growing up. Mm-hmm. You know, when I was 16 years old, my father, I believed, tried to kill me because I found out he was cheating on my mom. Never got any type of therapy for that. Mm-hmm. I mean, growing up, it was like, just, you know, let me give you something to cry about, you know, and I was never, it was never tended to. And I spent decades living with that unhealed. And when you have unhealed trauma inside of you, which I've learned, it compounds. Right. So every experience that you have, you look through the world through those lens. So I was living a very victim-y life, but being somebody who never felt worthy, and it actually led my high achievement. That's what I found with a lot of the women that I thousands of women that I've mentored. The ones that are the highest achievers and the high performers are the ones that have some level of trauma, some unworthiness that drives them, puts them into that masculine state. Like, as a very young child, I went into survival mode because I wasn't nurtured by mom or dad in that sense, you know, mother wound, father wound. But it led to my success. And so what happens is that I've saw the pattern with women. And as I was going through this journey of awakening, I saw there was a shift in consciousness. As I would heal certain things in my past or experiences, I saw that, well, maybe something that I wanted to acquire in my life came a lot quicker. Mm-hmm. There wasn't so much I had to work so hard for it. I didn't have to suffer to achieve it. And a lot of the programming that many women that I work with, they think love has to be hard because if you don't work hard, you don't get. Mm. And just all these things were coming up. And so I spent 3.5 years in monk mode, which I called it. I was celibate. I literally just went.
So you worked on you.
I worked on me.
Yeah.
And I.
How hard is that, though, to give up something you've worked so hard to get your law degree, to establish a career, to have a husband with children, and then give that all up? Did you have second thoughts? Did you think you were going through a midlife crisis? Did people say, what are you doing?
All the above.
Yeah.
Everybody thought it was crazy. I mean, I thought it was crazy.
Right.
I mean, if you look back at my journal, I'm like, I feel crazy. Hmm. But I knew something was calling to me. But I couldn't answer it until I worked on to becoming the woman who could answer the call.
So how did you figure out your path and your purpose? Because it sounds like up until now, you thought your happiness was dependent on your marriage looking right, your job making you money on your own, as opposed to, you know, it's a high-paying job, obviously. So I would assume that a lot of your sense of security and happiness came from money at the time, right, do you think?
Yes, yes and no. It came from like the validation that I was doing the thing I was supposed to do.
Right, yeah. Right. Okay.
Yeah.
And did that make you nervous that if you stopped working, how were you going to support
yourself? Hell yeah, it did.
Yeah.
Are you kidding me? I had a point in time where I had no money.
Right.
And I was too proud to ask anybody for anything. I remember I would take screenshots of my bank account. I'm like, oh my gosh, it's like 0, 0, 11, 11. Because whatever money, I'd have so much month left in the month. And I'm not used to living this way.
Right.
So I was starting all over again, ground zero.
By your choice.
By my choice. And so people were like, well, you could have stayed married. Your husband would still have paid for everything,
right.
You know, or you could have had this life. You could go here. And I knew that this was setting me up to figure things out that I needed to learn on my own.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, as I started healing, I started realizing that there were so many wirings that I had and patterns and programs that told me that it had to be so difficult, or money could only come in one way. And as I saw these shifts that were happening and I was healing and I was doing the deeper work, I saw that I could apply the methodologies that I was doing there to money.
Okay.
And that's
so
what made
about that.
That made a huge shift in how I looked at things.
Okay. So I love this because we're at a point now where you're talking about you have no money, you're struggling,
I was going to say. No support. Everybody ditched me.
I was just going to say, you're trying to figure out who your real friends are.
No, everybody ditched me.
So how did
you? And I ditched them too.
Right. I get that. So how did you then maneuver into, wait, I'm going to make a living out of this? How did you start that path?
So I just started sharing when I started getting wisdom that I really believe my connection to the Almighty, whatever it is, I channel it. I really do. And I feel like I get these spots of wisdom, and I don't know if you want to call it Christ consciousness, whatever you want, but then I was—
Were you religious beforehand?
No, and I'm not now.
Okay.
But I'm spiritual.
Got it.
So difference, this for me, and I respect what everybody wants, you know, out there.
But I mean, do you feel like you had callings or perceptions, whatever it was, before this awakening?
No, I was so shut down. Are you kidding me? No, it was like—
Got it.
I was in survival mode.
By the way, do you go to yoga all the time now?
I did. I don't now, though. Okay. But I did. I still lift. But yeah, I did. You know, yoga moves your energy. That's what the prana that's in you, it like moves it. So it's good if you ever want to move through that energy. I just found different ways, you know?
Right. Okay, so go back to your path.
Then. So the path, so you were asking about where, you know, how I got on it. So for me personally, I feel like I came to a do or die moment, like where I was, you know, I had this calling and I knew that if I shared, and as I shared things with other women, they started saying, oh my gosh, she's speaking to me. Mm. And so then I started reading.
Because it was relatable.
It was so
relatable. Because they had been through it.
They had been through it. And I was able to understand them in ways that they never could before. And I feel like that's what most high-achieving, high-successful women, even men, want. They just want to be understood. Like growing up, no one said, you know, what are you feeling right now? Mm. What are your emotions? It was like, how fast can you run? How can you do this? We were always praised on what we could do. Mm-hmm. And so I had life backwards. You know, you ever heard of the saying, be, do, have? You know, I was do, have, be. Mm. So if I did the thing, I would have the success and then I would be successful. Like, you know what
Got
I mean?
It, yeah.
But it's really be, do, have. I had to become the woman, be, then do the things in that energy. Mm-hmm. And then I would have the feeling of how things were.
Right.
So you go back to money. I was chasing success to fulfill myself. There got to a point though, it was like a colander. Like no amount of success ever made me feel full. It always felt like it was coming in, going out. And what I found when I did do this shift, I realized there was a different relationship with money. I believe money is masculine on the way that we look at it for protection, for safety.
Yeah.
Without money, we feel like we're going to die, you know,
right.
Basically at the end of the day.
Yeah.
And most people's decision-making process comes from how much money. Let me check if I have money. Let's see how much money it is.
Right.
Let me see, is the money going to come back to me? Am I going to lose the money?
Also, in choosing a man, does he have money?
Well, yeah, but a lot of women, they actually, money and men are so similar, actually. So when women are in their masculine, they're actually chasing money instead of allowing money to come to them. So they actually chase men, too. They're not in that place of, like, allowing the money and the men to come to them. Huge shift when you get out of that dominant masculine energy, right?
Okay.
When you move into more of the feminine.
Wait, hold on.
I
like what you're saying. So you're saying that it's like chasing men instead of allowing it to come. Does that mean you have to be in a place of not having scarcity, where you're making your own money, you're happy, you're having all these things, and then it can come? Because if you're chasing these men, it's all about
desperate energy.
That, right. And when you don't have that, when you can come, when you're fulfilling your own money goals, whatever it is, when you're okay, then you can allow things to come to you.
Yes and no.
Okay.
Like, just because she can make money doesn't mean she's not in scarcity.
Okay.
So it is healing the victimness inside of you.
Got it.
Like,
okay.
You know, has anybody ever done you bad? You need to repair that. If you ever feel like you're blaming or the story or you're disempowered at any level, this is man or woman.
Right.
You know, if you feel like, well, if taxes were less money, then I would make more money. Or if this was this, then I would be. So as long as you know that you have the power to change everything, but if you're blaming anything outside of you, then that puts you in scarcity. I know people who make 8 and 9 figures that have scarcity.
Interesting.
So what will happen is they'll make the money, but then all of a sudden something else will come up and pop up and the money will go right out again.
Right.
And so they won't have that consistent growth of compounding of money. So they'll make it, but it'll go back out again. You ever hear people who become millionaires and then they lose it all and they become a millionaire again? Okay, because they know how to make it, but they don't know how to keep it.
Right.
So this is where I shift things for women.
Okay.
Or men.
Well, tell us what tell our listeners what you actually do, and then we'll back
up. So I'm a wealth expert, mm-hmm. and I'm a business mentor. And I help people basically reframe their relationship with themselves, but also with money, with everybody in their lives. So if you can get to the root cause, like I really believe we have three core wounds. It's abandonment, betrayal, and unworthiness. And if you have not worked through those three core wounds, mm-hmm. I can look in your business and I can see which one of those are probably popping up. I can look at your bank account. I can see how you're operating. But when you get to a place where you're no longer in that victimness and no longer in the scarcity, and because you don't have a story surrounding one of those wounds, you won't feel like money will leave because the abandonment wound won't be like activated. You'll be like, I know money will come in. I can spend it. I put it out there. I know it'll come back to me. Okay. But if you've got an abandonment wound and I've said money's masculine, you'll feel like somebody is leaving you. Money will be leaving you because it's the protection mode that money has, right. You know, right? So, and then this is where a lot of women create that false sense of their masculine energy. They go into survival mode. And when they're in the survival mode, they're actually blocking the flow of how much more money they can have to them.
If you felt stuck trying to lose weight, you're not alone. Enter Weight Loss by Hers. It's designed to support you in reaching your goals. And Hers now offers access to an affordable range of FDA-approved GLP-1 medications, including the Wegovy pill and the Wegovy pen. With Wegovy at Hers, lose up to 20% or more of your body weight when combined with diet and exercise. It helps you regulate your appetite, eat less, and keep weight off. Plus, Wegovy is the first GLP-1 available in a pill, so there are no needles needed. Everything is 100% online through Hers. You'll connect with a licensed provider who will determine if treatment is right for you. If prescribed, your medication is delivered right to your door. No insurance necessary. And it doesn't stop there. Weight Loss by Hers goes beyond medication by offering access to 24/7 messaging with your care team and tons of in-app lifestyle and nutrition tips like recipes, meal plans, fitness videos, sleep content, and more. Even better, with a range of affordable GLP-1 options, Hers makes it simple to find an approach that fits your needs and your budget, if eligible. You'll get a treatment plan personalized to you and unlimited dosage changes as needed. It's weight loss designed to work with your life. Ready to reach your goals? Visit forhers.com/women to get personalized, affordable care that gets you. That's forhers.com/women. Forhers.com/women. Weight loss by Hers is not available in all 50 states. Wegovy is the registered trademark of Novo Nordisk AS. To get started and learn more, including important safety information, Wegovy clinical study information, and restrictions, visit forhers.com.
I'm going to bring up something no one wants to really talk about, but a lot of us are dealing with it, perimenopause and hormones. If you've been feeling off, moody, tired, just not like yourself, and you're wondering if you've hit that time in your life where you might be starting to go through perimenopause, I have a product for you. I found this over-the-top amazing kit on holisticgoddess.com. It's called the UVA Perimenopause Hormone Kit. Essentially, you pee in a cup, you dip the test strip, you scan it with the UVA app, and it tracks your hormones, estrogen, progesterone, and luteinizing hormone for 15 days. It gives you real-time personalized insights so you finally understand what's going on in your body. No more waiting weeks for blood work or guessing. You get actual answers sent to your phone within seconds. I just tried it. I've already gotten my first reading, and I will keep you posted along the way. Go to holisticgoddess.com. Use the code UNDERSTOOD to help you get on your way.
Okay, so I've gone down your Instagram, I've looked at all your stuff, and I was trying to figure out how it applied to people I know, to myself, and I was confused because I didn't know if you had to be in a sales role, not you, but the people you're working with, to make this amount. So explain to people that are listening, like, these tips and tricks that you're talking about for everyday life, because now that you started this conversation, I get it. It's about reframing how you look at things. You don't have to be in sales. How are people taking what they do, no matter what the job is, and elevating their career?
So if you want to make more money, let's say, right, mm-hmm. or you want to, I believe money makes the world go around so much easier and better. You know, I don't look at it as being a negative. I don't look at rich people being bad. I look at people having money, I'm like celebrating them.
Right.
So first you need to check into what's your relationship with it first.
Right.
And then identify it. If you have any—
Because, by the way, sorry to interrupt you, but I just want to say, I know people that will shame others.
Absolutely.
Oh, my God, you're getting your nails done again. Oh,
absolutely.
My God, how many shoes can you have? Oh, my God, you need hair extensions.
Absolutely.
Why? Who needs to do that? What a waste of money. That is a different relationship with money and beauty than I have. Like, do you know what I'm saying? So I don't get that. And that I don't like when people shame me about stuff.
So
like that.
They're going to shame you anyway. And then you can be like, so what?
Right.
So I bought my G-Wagon cash. It was $300,000. And they said, one of the guys at one of my places that I hang out, he goes, you're crazy. And I said, all right. For a minute, I let it bother me.
Right.
Like, a minute, literally. By the time I walked in the door, I was like, I might be crazy, but I feel rich in that car.
Right.
So I have the money to buy it. Right. And the money's come in like 10 times since.
Right. But you're not living in a studio apartment just so you can afford your
car,
which is what a lot of people do too.
Yeah. And let me tell you, that might be someone's way to get the gateway to go in. I wouldn't do that, but I wouldn't judge them for it. So
sure.
I have no judgment on how people spend money.
Got
because
it.
I have a different relationship. I know till the day I die, money will always be there for me.
Right.
Because my consciousness, my wealth consciousness has expanded to a place where I know that with or without it, it's coming in. Like you, having money does not make you wealthy and does not shift your mindset around money. You've got to have that prior to. So when I had no money, when I was starting all over again, that's when I changed the way I looked at money. Because I had to be my wealthiest version of myself before. And once I did, I was attracting cash clients everywhere.
Meaning fake it till you make it?
Yes and no. Like I didn't go to a place where, like you said, I bought something and pretended.
Right.
I allowed myself to be the wealthier version of me. So what would that wealthy version do? All right. People say they have no money, but you're holding an iPhone. It's how are you spending your money? What are you doing with it? So if I wanted extra guac, rich version of me is getting extra guac, you know, or I was tipping people extra. Even when I didn't have enough, I was still giving to others because the wealthy version of me, she's going to tip everybody.
Right.
You know, if she wants her drink at Starbucks, I'm going to go every day and get my drink at Starbucks. I'm not going to restrict myself where Dave Ramsey says, cut back, cut back.
Mm.
I live in the expansion of the more. So I got into the state of, if I had the more, how would I show up? And I found ways of doing it, you know?
But what would you say to people that say, well, that's living outside your means and that can really destroy someone?
Changing the way you live. So if people think they're in scarcity, they're going to be in scarcity.
Okay.
If they feel like money is going to leave them, money will leave them.
Okay.
So every day I found abundance in my life. But first I had to work on my scarcity, which was rooted in the victimness from the trauma that I had.
I see.
Once I removed that, I only could see the abundance.
And when you say remove that, you're talking about going to therapy?
Well, therapy only worked for like half a minute.
Okay.
No, I mean, read my book, you know, but I mean, I literally did every healing modality that there was. And I'm like, I've got to find out how I can bring the tools to myself to find out where's my limits. Why am I thinking this way? Where's my patterns? Because you don't know where your blind spots are, right?
Yeah. Okay, let's dive into wealth creation then for people that are listening. How do people get wealthy?
Well, the first thing is that you have to start feeling wealthy and start thinking wealthy. I mean, if you think that it's outside of you, it will always be outside of you. So
okay.
I've read, I want to say like 500 money books, because at the time I'm like, I'm going to figure this out. And the thing that from all the things that I've been reading, the one thing that you have to figure out is what is your relationship with money first? Are you willing to use it as a tool and not something that has power over you, but you have having power over it. So, you know, investments in stocks. Are you willing to go, if you have the money, this is if you have the money, are you willing to go put some money in there and just decide that it's going to work? Are you willing to, you know, buy
take a
the
risk, you mean?
Basically,
yeah.
Are you willing to, you know, buy the things that you absolutely love just because you love them, not because you're justified with your purchases? Most people buy things because they're like, well, it was a good deal.
Mm.
Or it was, you know, it was something that was on sale, or, you know, I could probably use it one day, where they're not buying things that they truly, truly desire.
Mm.
I believe, like you said, your hair extension, when you buy things that you absolutely love, it makes you feel wealthier. It makes you
right.
feel richer. So creating more wealth to me means first starting out with the version of yourself that believes that the wealth is there and exists, but then going to do all of those, be do have, going to do all of those investments, money-making exchanges, but in a place that you know money will always come back more and more for you.
Okay, so let's say someone's listening and they get it and they followed along so far and they're like, okay, I want to do what she did. I want to kind of give up this path because it's not working. I'm stuck. Don't you think that somebody has to figure out what their purpose is, like whether or not they have to get a new job? I mean, they can't just kind of sit around and do yoga until they figure it out, right? I mean, what
well,
are the
everybody
tangible
will have that breaking moment.
Right.
I mean, if you're in a job that you hate and you're just because you're in survival mode. You're just accepting less. Raise your standards. Where are you right now? If you're willing to accept less, then guess what? You're going to get less.
So to move out of this scarcity level, you have to be willing to see yourself better, to have some self-worth.
You have to.
And then act it. Even if you don't believe it yet, kind of act it. Show up as that and see what comes.
Your net worth is all dependent on your self-worth.
Got it. Right.
I mean, you know, if you don't feel like you're worthy of the wealth, a lot of people will say, well, I can't charge high ticket for my programs, or I don't feel like I can go buy Louis Vuitton. It feels so out. But why? Because you're feeling like you don't deserve it. I felt like that for the longest time when I bought things to fulfill me. Mm. Like, look at my stuff. Like, look how, you know, wealthy I am. But then none of that filled the hole. I was still on that yoga mat looking for something, searching for it. And then now that I have fulfillment inside of my purpose and what I want to do in life, I don't ever go out there thinking I'm going out there to make money. Chasing money will never bring it to you. But when you live in purpose, when you're doing things that make you feel like you're contributing to society, whatever it is, you'll have the cash come back to you. I just know it's always there at all times, you know.
You have faith in it.
I do. Well, that was the biggest muscle I had to exercise. And I had to work on feeling safe.
Right.
Because most people don't feel safe inside themselves. And that's a whole nother conversation about really healing your somatic, you know, nervous system and feeling health, you know, safe with money.
Right.
Carrying cash is a good way of doing it. I like to carry a couple $1,000 at all times, and I carry $1 bills to tip everybody. I have a different relationship with money this way, you know, now. And whatever I was searching for on that yoga mat, I have found now inside of me, you know, fulfilling my life.
Amazing. You're well known for your quantum woman philosophy. Can you explain what that is?
Well, I believe that there's a quantum woman inside of all of us. I believe she's a woman who gets what she wants. She's the wealthiest woman in the room. She is emotionally mastered. She has emotional intelligence. She's not afraid to speak up. She's the most authentic her. It's she's not wearing the mask anymore, and she's not afraid to be unapologetically rich. Mm-hmm. I feel a lot, you know, you said people shame. A woman who is the quantum woman, she collapsed time. She doesn't wait 10 years to get what she wants. She's becoming this most ultimate version of herself, that she's attracting everything into her life at quantum speed. And a lot of what I teach about, because being a lawyer, when this stuff started happening, I needed quantum physics to explain, how do we bring all these things to us? Money's just energy. It's nothing more than that. And people assign too much meaning to it. But a quantum woman knows she can have whatever she wants, the relationships that she wants. And when I started teaching women to be unapologetically rich, they started showing up in a different way. They didn't feel like they had to play under the radar. Men are talking about money all over, and they can talk about their stocks and being rich. But when it comes to women doing it, they're like, well, who did your husband buy that for you? Or, I mean, men are supposed to provide for us too, which is a whole nother conversation, I feel like. But a woman can also be her most actualized self and what she can create in the world. And I think a woman who does not go out and figure out what she's made to do in the world is doing herself a disservice, because she's living under the bar of what she can accept in life.
So clarify for me, do you think a woman should not live in her masculine, or that she should? Or
I feel like we need both masculine and feminine.
Okay.
But I believe that in her relationships, no, she should not be in her masculine. If when she's Got running it. Her business, be in the feminine, but then do masculine tasks in it.
Sure.
It's a different energy.
Yeah.
You know, a woman who's in her masculine doesn't have a support team. She's not a very good leader. She's, you know, she's constantly doing everything herself because she's micromanaging. She doesn't trust the process. She doesn't know how to leverage her time. So she's constantly being frazzled, you know, where when you are in your feminine, you allow yourself to be supported. You let men come in, you ask for help. But when you're in survival mode, you don't know to do that. So that's why most women are stuck there.
Do you find now that you only work with high-profile clients because it's harder to work with people that are in their scarcity?
Yes. But why? I have programs for them too, because they have someone to blame. And when someone takes ownership, then they have the power to change. But when you think it's outside of you, there's not so much I could do with, like, I can't help you.
Got it. So, all right, you work with a lot of high-profile clients. What have you learned from them and their relationships with money?
That money is very easy to be made, but keeping it's a whole nother story. Mm. And then also, it's never
about— You mean because they just spend it too much on things? Is this also to help elevate them, to make them—
Absolutely.
Right.
Yeah.
But and you believe they should be okay with that.
I believe it's a choice you want to make with your money, and no judgment to me.
Got it. Right.
Yeah. I just, whatever you want to do to make you happy, if that rocks your boat,
but what
do
if
it.
That takes them to zero in their bank account?
Then they have to reassess why they're doing it.
Right. Okay.
So I always feel like—
So you believe that they should be responsible with it?
I don't feel like that's even a word.
Okay, tell me what you mean.
I mean, it's just cash. So there's no way to be good or right with your money. It's how your relationship with it.
Well, but think about the people that might go blow it on something that they shouldn't. What if too many materialistic things and they can't pay for their kid's school? I mean,
that is, they're filling a need, a void inside of them.
Okay.
So something's inside of them that's telling them that they need to go blow their money, that they aren't putting their child's needs above their own because their little girl, little boy inside needs to show off.
Got it. So then we go back to the beginning, which is you right have back to, the root. To deal with your own issues.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Now I get it.
But if they blow the money and they're able to make the 30 grand next day, I mean, okay, then do what you want to do.
I see.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, it's up to you. But if you blow the money and you feel bad about it and you're like, Shamina, where'd the money come? Then I'll have to talk to you about what did you do here?
Right.
If it's an issue.
Right.
But, you know, some people who don't, high profile people, I'll tell you one thing, they like things free.
Right. I do know that.
And they always want you to fix a problem that they have created. Mm. And they have to learn that they have to fix the problem. And a lot of them won't go deep.
Right.
But they're really great at manifesting.
Right. Okay. That's interesting. What advice would you give someone who feels stuck in the grind but wants to build both wealth and love and success?
Write down what your dream life looks like.
How do you believe in manifesting?
Oh, 100%.
Okay. Tell me what that looks like.
I believe in creating your reality.
Okay.
Manifesting is such a watered down word.
Yeah.
How do you want to wake up in the morning? Do you want to wake up with an alarm clock? Like, okay, then that means you're going to 9 to 5. I don't wake up with an alarm clock at all.
I know what you're saying.
Okay. I wake up when I want to. I work 4 hours, 5 hours a week. I make a lot of money. You know, it's certain things. Like, how do you want, what does your life look like? Then build a business around that life.
Got it.
So how many hours do you want to work? What does it look like? If someone's working a 9 to 5.
Do you think that they should be like writing this down on a piece of paper? Do they speak it to the universe?
Every day you should journal and be intentional about what you want to create. I keep a gratitude journal. I've done it and I used to meditate for an hour every day for 8 years. I mean, I had to do something. I was undoing a lot of stuff.
Yeah.
And whatever works for you, you know, but write down, be intentional. What kind of life do you want to live? Or do you want to let life tell you how to live? Mm. Learn how to be responsive and not reactive. You know, when you said people are shaming you, well, let people have their opinion and you decide how you want to respond. When you have emotional mastery, which is what I teach about in the book, mm-hmm. you learn how to then design the life that you want because you're no longer giving your power away to other people. You're no longer being triggered. You're no longer being in a state that you're constantly trying to like fight the world. Instead, you're learning how to pave the path where you, no matter what's going on in the world, you are in your lane creating what you want. That's what it is cutting out the noise. You know, back in 2020 when everything was going sideways, I made so much money during that year and I was in such a happy place. It propelled my business to the next level because everybody else was losing their minds. But I was like, all right, I don't care what's going on there. I'm going to stay in my lane, do what I know to do. And it changed the game. I can walk into any room and know that because I have emotional mastery, I don't care how much money you make, what you're doing. I know I'm going to be a boss because I know who I am.
Right.
You know, it's a different feeling. So find out that. What do you want?
Right.
And don't let people tell you it's a crazy dream. If it's on your heart, it's in your soul, that desire is meant to be there because somewhere in the quantum field, that's actually happening for you. Right. So don't poo-poo it. Allow yourself to go big and dream. And I tell people, like, listen, you might not be able to see it right now, but if you talk about it every day like it's happening, it will.
Right.
It will come to fruition, but you have to believe that it's possible for you.
Right. I love that. For anyone who's listening, who's dreaming of starting their own business and scaling to 7 figures, what piece of advice would you give them?
Well, I believe it's easier to make 7 figures than it is $100,000.
Why?
Yeah, I feel like I do. I've seen it over and over again. I mean, when I made my first million in this business, I realized it was the easiest million I'd ever made because I woke up every day doing something I absolutely loved.
Right.
And I mean, it sounds crazy, but I also hired people. Mm-hmm. I hired mentors. As soon as I made some money from my business, when I was broke, remember I told you? Mm-hmm. I mean, I like using that word. But the money that I made, I went and I reinvested right back into hiring mentors, into my business. I hired people who did things faster. And then I just kept up-leveling myself, putting myself in the right rooms, investing in myself to the point I spent over $500,000 on mentors and then programs.
Wow. But do you feel like you made your $1 million from what, selling your services and people paying you directly, doing speeches? How did you?
All the above. Like, I have 7 or 8 streams of income now. My book, YouTube, you know, my digital programs. I have right. passive income. Billionaires make money. I think we broke it down the other day. They make $2.7 million a day, let's say, if they broke it down to a billion a year, right?
Yeah.
So they're not working, exchanging an hour for time sure. for money. They learn how to leverage their time and their money. So I would find ways where that you can start a business that you're not working so hard, because if it was about hard work, janitors would be millionaires. Find a way where you can leverage your time, leverage a team, and be able to create something that you're going to give somebody like the most amazing result that they're going to go tell everybody about it. Like, I believe in service.
Right.
And I know that every woman that comes in my world, they have a result, you know?
I love that.
Yeah.
Tell people where they can find this book and give a little, you know, sense about it.
Unlocking the Quantum Woman. And by the way, men have been reading this book too. You can go get it on Amazon. We've got
four keys to opening the life of your dreams.
Yes.
What are the four keys?
I believe it's heal. It's desire, heal, receive, and there's one more. She's squeezing me right now.
Sorry. We'll find
yeah,
out.
But there's
I'll
four.
Say it in the intro.
The gal that was helping me write the book, she goes, "You just need to have four keys because you have like 1,000." I'm like, "I know." But when you read the book, there's a workbook inside it to help you journal, and it'll help you shift in, you know, what you want. You can get it on Amazon. We've got, I think, 280 five-star reviews on there. It's been the number one bestseller in women in business. And also my podcast, Unapologetically Rich. I just believe you just get to have money just because, and you get to do whatever you want with it. And if you look at it as a tool and not so much as it having so much power over you or meaning more than what it is, because whatever you assign meaning to is going to be fact and law.
Right.
And I've just assigned meaning that it just gets to be a tool for me to buy the things that I like and do the things I want in the world. Take my kids to Europe. Like, going from a woman who was broke to being able to go on a 5-star vacation, took my kids to Europe this summer, 5-star. We flew there and back. I had a driver throughout Italy and Europe. We rented a yacht on the Amalfi Coast. I can buy whatever I want. I never look at price tags anymore.
And lastly, I will ask you then, what's your relationship with men then right now?
Oh,
because you don't need one,
so
obviously.
I did have a toxic relationship with men for a while, and I had to heal. But that was part of my programming that I worked on. I've now raised my standards on who I want to invite into my life. And I also require a man who's got emotional intelligence as well. Because, you know, having fit, hot guys, you know, which I've gone down that road with athletes and all that, they're nice and fun. But if they don't have the emotional intelligence, then it always goes back to, were we all nurtured by our moms?
Right.
You know, and did we get the love that we need? Or are we still trying to prove ourselves there? And because I don't chase men or money anymore, I mean, I've never chased men, but never been that desperate state.
I know.
They come to me all the time.
Right.
And opportunities come too. It's not just money and men. It's speaking engagements, you know. Getting contacts, meeting people, like the greatest things start happening when you relax and just allow things to shift and change in your life.
Amazing. Tell people where they can find you, get a hold of you, see one of your podcasts or your YouTube shows.
Come find me on Instagram at Shamina Taylor. And if you're a woman, come join the Quantum Woman group on Facebook. If you love to YouTube, go check out my YouTube channel. I talk all about, you know, shifting your mindset around money. And you can check out the Unapologetically Rich podcast that we have. And, you know, send me a message. Say hi if you heard this. I'd love to hear from you.
Amazing. You read your DMs?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Awesome.
And my team too. Both of us. Yeah.
Awesome. All right. But somebody will get back
to them. Yeah, definitely. Absolutely.
Interested.
Listen, you don't have to stay where you are. Just remember, this is how I got through every single thing in my life. This is not my final destination.
Right.
And I always say messy makes me millions. So don't think you have to be perfect to go out there. Whatever it is that you want to start, go do the thing. Just take some action. And learn as you go. Like, you're not going to be the most amazing skater when you start.
Yeah.
Just put the shoes, the skates on and start doing something.
You just have to show up. And I think so many people are stuck in living a discount version of themselves. They've gotten really stuck on the shelf. And they don't know. They're scared to take that leap.
Yeah.
And I think we've all been through that. You know, that's why it's really, you know, understandable and how people can relate so easily to what you're talking about, some stuff that I talk about, because everyone's been there. And it's just really putting your toe into that second act and getting it started. And once you have that courage, then the reality will kind of follow behind
Absolutely.
You. So I love that. Yeah. Anyways, it's been a pleasure to
meet you. Thank you so much for having me.
Thank you so much for listening to Misunderstood. I'm your host, Rachel Yucatel. Please be sure to subscribe to the show and give us a 5-star rating and review. You can support the show by joining our Patreon at patreon.com/misunderstood with Rachel Yucatel. Do you have ideas for the show or want to reach out? Email us at info@misunderstoodpodcast@gmail.com. That's spelled MISS understood. Thank you so much, and I'll see you next time.